Following up frequently means sending multiple messages, sending more than just once every 2 or 3 months. It means sending a couple, a few, maybe a handful every month. It all depends on the sequence. So if somebody comes in as a digital lead, as a PPL lead, I am going to be aggressive with them up front because I want to get them on a phone and moving down our pipeline. It's all about the pipeline. The problem with what I see with investors do is they have one bucket that they just throw everybody into. So you're forced to just have generic messaging.
This is Eat, Sleep, Invest, the marketing podcast for real estate investors to get more deals.
Hey, welcome back everyone to another episode of Eat, Sleep, and Invest. I'm your host, Brian Driscoll. I'm here with Paul DeCampo. What's going on, Paul?
Hey man, glad to be here, dude.
Thanks for coming back. I think you were on here like a year ago, maybe, right?
Yeah, it was a little over a year ago right here. I used to have an office downtown. Now I have a home office. So yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
First, Paul, give everybody a little background on how you got into this space and what all you do, and include talking about door knocking in the gang territories.
I started in 2016, wholesaling, flipping mobile homes, shifted into flipping land. I had a little land flipping business as well. But I came from blue collar. That was my background. Like I was a pipeline welder. I was a pipeline welder until 2020, 21-ish. Yeah, I just knew how to dig holes. That's all I knew how to do. So it's a hard transition when sales and marketing is a special skill set. And you either, I don't want to say you're born with it, but people can be born with a easier for them to learn it, I should say. Well, I didn't have that. So yeah, I remember door knocking foreclosures, door knocking probate leads. I remember cold calling a lot. I remember sitting in my car, you know, following up, quote following up. And I had a CRM at the time. At the time, it was like Podio. Everyone had Podio at the time. That's all there was. I had drips too. I had drip sequences, which is what we're talk about. That's what I do today. But I remember sitting in my car and Mrs. Sally here, I got to follow up with her. Yeah, I spoke with her like 2 weeks ago. Let me go ahead and I don't feel like I should be calling her. I'm going to push her to next month. Next person on the list. You know, I feel like this person isn't ready to sell. Let me push them down the road. So my whole follow-up was all based off of just feeling-based. And so terrible way to run business, terrible way to run life in general, when your quote discipline is run by your feelings. And so I had a hard time finding, bottom line, I had a hard time finding deals that in that route. I remember, you know, hearing about somebody, lead selling with someone else. So that, you know, you hear that often when you pull your data and you're like, man, 20% of my leads are selling elsewhere, you know, and it's a heart wrenching fact. But anyway, that led me into a route of learning about sales and marketing, specifically copywriting. So kind of by accident, I became TurboMox copywriter over at Carrot. That was like my first paid gig as a copywriter. I learned everything I can as a whole nother rabbit hole. You know, everybody thinks of when you're as an investor, a wholesaler, that's like the bubble. That's all you know. Then there's this other bubble, this other little parallel universe that exists of copywriters all learning from each other. And so I kind of fell into that bubble as well. And I just started learning everything I can about it. I started taking on clients as an email copywriter, as a direct mail copywriter as well. And it's kind of specialized in the whole real estate niche as well for coaches, for vendors, like you guys. And at the same time, I'm flipping land too, flipping mobile homes into notes. I started transitioning, started gaining some success. But around 2020, I made a decision. 2021, I made a decision to quit my W-2 and go full-time into being a freelance copywriter. It was just the fastest transition to quit my job. I really needed to quit my job at the time. And so it was the fastest transition. So I did it. And I'm here today. And I created a business called OmniDrip that helps investors with their follow-up game.
Yeah. So everyone listening. So it's interesting too, because in the real estate space, you have all these different ways to, number one, find people that want to sell. But then most of, like out of 10 leads, one wants to sell yesterday. The other 9 want to sell. They might want to sell next week. They want to sell next month or next year. So like Paul was saying too, keeping them organized and then not feeling going by your feelings. It's like, oh, I just talked to them 2 weeks ago. Like, I don't want to bother them. That's what you're talking about, right, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely. It's having a system of follow up, because most of the people I run into, there is no system. It's just based off of you know, I feel like this lead might need to use a follow-up right now. So I'm going to set a manual task to follow up. And it's all based off of manual tasks. And then the word, the verbiage, the words are mainly just like, hey, are you still interested in selling? Rather, we create a system that is where the copy is more value driven, and credibility driven, authority driven. So that's not, you're not just asking the same direct question. Are you still interested in selling? Are you still interested? Like for you now, you're emailing a lot more often. We set up so that you're emailing a lot more often now. You're not sending stuff that's like, hey, check out this offer, check out this pitch. They're already on your email list. They already know who you are. So now we're sending them value with a pitch at the end of that email. So same principle, same concept for investors. You can still follow up and you'll still do it in a way that is still giving value. And it's not just the shady salesman that shows up only asking the same question. Because the question, are you interested in selling or any kind of variation of it? It's 100% self-serving. There's that does nothing to the other person, right? So we build up some emails, SMS tasks with voicemail scripts and things like that, direct mail, personal Loom videos. Like we get our clients to use personal Loom videos to send out to their leads, things of that. So we can create a system that just plug a lead in and it follows up until they're actually ready to sell. So,
hey, now give me an example. Say I talk to somebody, they're in, I don't know, proof of closure, divorced or whatever. And instead of following up and like, hey, you ready to sell yet? What's an example of something you see when you're talking value based?
It all depends on the sequence. We have like 20, over 20 sequences that we plug in. And I'll tell you exactly why. I'll tell you a story of why that's important, why we put in so many. But for example, if the seller just starts ghosting you, maybe they've been to an appointment and you gave them an offer, but they've ghosted you from there on. Well, there's a sequence for that. And that sequence would be like offer too low. Landlord, let's say it's a landlord, for example. Well, we'd send out first like an intro or a thank you. Hey, letting you know, thanks for at least considering us and taking a look at our offer. If anything changes, let us know. The next series of emails and SMS might be, hey, just FYI, or just letting you know, or just a reminder that our offer means that we can buy with your tenants in place. Call us back whenever you're ready to sell. Or I might drive them to an article. I try to front load engagement up front because it's, you know, technical. I don't want to get into tech stuff, but it's good for deliverability, but it drives them back to your website. Now we're creating that brand awareness. So I'm getting multiple touches in. I want to drive them to the website. And if they've got their pixel set up, then they got multiple ads being run to them. So I'm trying to drive them to an article. I'm bringing up a benefit that we do. So the reason why we do all this is because I have a client that I'll often go into clients' CRMs, check out what they're doing, check out how are the drips doing. I'll look at some deals that they've pulled out of it and kind of look at the activity of what's going on. Some CRMs give you the number, give you a stat of like, what's the average amount of touches it takes until the lead converts over. I'm seeing numbers of like 60, 70, 80 touches before a lead actually converts. I had one deal that it took 180 touches for that lead to convert. So the game is touches. So if we look at like KPIs, it's like, well, that means we need to rep touches. So the question, big question is, what are we going to say within 70, 80 touches until that seller is ready to sell? Because we can't say anything to convert them. People ask, well, what's the best converting text message or email? It's none of that because there's nothing we can say that all of a sudden changes their situation. I look at this activity and I see people responding back and saying, hey, sorry, you know, we've had going through a messy divorce or trying to kick a tenant out or whatever it is, whatever situation, that's more important right now than selling. There's nothing you can say to make them sell right now, but we can say a whole lot to build the brand up, to show up with value. So, you know, that's one reason why you need to be following up frequently, somewhat frequently. And other than just, hey, are you looking to sell? We're driving them to an article. Again, like I said, we're reminding them of what our offer brings to the table. So that's the kind of the key points there. Reminders of what bringing up benefits to what we do and driving them to our website, bringing up testimonials and reviews as well. That's important. We front load proof up front so we can bring up the brand as well. So
I heard you say a couple things there too, because all that is important. And I think all investors need to know this, and most people don't even think about it. For example, multiple drips. So what I'm hearing you say is every seller is different. So we're going to treat them differently in our drip sequences, right?
Yeah. And that's, so if you read forums, if you read wholesaling groups, and you'll see things like drips don't work. And that's like, when you say things like that, that's like when you go out and buy a Honda from a shady sales used car lot, and they tell you, oh, it's, you know, it's only got 80,000 miles, but the odometer's broken, and you drive it off the lot and it breaks down in a mile. And then you go out and say, oh, Hondas don't work. Hondas are trash. No, it's just the shady salesman you bought it from. So what I'm getting at is drips is just a tool. It's just a mechanism. That's all it is. What makes it work, if you've done right, is that you're following up frequently. See, what quote follow-up looks like for a lot of investors is they tell you they're going to sell in 6 months from now. Okay, cool. So then you set a manual task up in 6 months and you hope that the timing is right. And you hope they remember you, and you call them back, and you know, maybe one of three things happened. They sold to somebody else by that time, right? Two, they have no idea who you are. That happens most often. And then three, you get lucky that you actually landed, you called them at the right time, at the right place. See, I don't want to rely on luck. So follow-up has been my income generator. That's what I do. Following up frequently means sending multiple messages, sending more than just once every 2 or 3 months. It means sending a couple, a few, maybe a handful every month. It all depends on the sequence. So if somebody comes in as a digital lead, as a PPL lead, I am going to be aggressive with them up front, right? They came in and they inquired about our business. I'm not going to be walking really softly on eggshells with them. I'm going to be highly aggressive because I want to get them on a phone and moving down our pipeline. It's all about the pipeline. The problem with what I see with investors do is they have one bucket that they just throw everybody into, and you don't know if that person, if that seller has been to an appointment, have been given an offer yet. You don't know if they're a landlord or a vacant house lead. So you don't know any information when you throw them into one bucket. So you're forced to just have generic messaging. But when I break it up into sequences that follow a pipeline, sequences that segment, I can now leverage like the call to action. I can now leverage cadence, because cadence depends on where they're at. If they're top of funnel, I more frequent. If they're bottom of funnel and they've ghosted me or they're not too sure yet, it's less frequent. I'm still showing up, maybe showing up depending on how long the drip sequence is, where they're at, but I might be showing up from once a week to twice a month, to once a month, depending on how long they're at in the sequence. But either case, the point of it, that the reason why I set up multiple sequences is because every situation is different. Every part of the pipeline is different. Every call to action is different.
Yeah. And now, do you see, because there's different types of sellers. For example, someone that's in foreclosure might feel like crap because he'll let his wife down and his kids down, versus a tired landlord. There's like no emotion. He just doesn't like doing it anymore, most likely.
Right.
But yeah. Do you find using like different empathy and things like that in the emails, depending on who the target audience is?
Well, we do have a foreclosure sequence for, it's just one sequence for people that you've spoken to. It's not cold, like I need to emphasize this. This isn't cold lead generation. So cold lead generation is far different rules, far different principles and tactics. But this is somebody you've spoken to and they're on the fence. You throw them in this foreclosure sequence. And what this foreclosure sequence is, it's a lot more, it's more empathetic and it's more value, meaning there's like, there might be two or three articles we send to help them. It's about helping them in their situation. It's not about just showing up and asking, hey, are you looking to sell? So that one is a little, walks a little bit more on eggshells. Same with the probate one. We have a probate sequence too. Same thing. You've spoken to them. They're not too sure yet. Either they've gone through probate process or they're in the probate process or they're not in the probate process yet. Either one works. But same thing. There's like five different articles we have in that one that we drive the traffic to. That one is a lot more empathetic. It's more about helping the individual, giving them value. I have tip campaigns in it, which we're just giving them tips. So yeah, those two are a lot more slower paced. We have landlord sequences. We have owner occupant sequences. We have vacant house sequences, because those have a different problem. Now I can start leveraging things. I can start saying things like houses being a liability, squatters in the house, right? Those are the problems that vacant house leads deal with, as opposed to landlords or owner occupants.
Yeah, and this is important too, because I know a lot of investors, specifically more than newer investors, look at houses like how the house is the problem, which meanwhile, most people sell because they have a problem in life. So like once you change your view a little bit, it's like, okay, these people have a problem. I'm going to try to help them. The house, half the time, is not the problem. Selling the house is the solution, You know what I mean? So I like how you're saying that there.
A lot of investors assume that they understand, the seller knows what the cash offer brings. In copywriting 101, you know, this is the whole feature versus benefits. Cash offer is just a feature. It doesn't really mean anything, right? In the shallow view of things. But I remember years ago when I was struggling, in 2016, I was, you know, struggling going door to door. And I did get chased by, answer your question early on, I did get chased by a gang door knocking in Pomona, California. Just wrong neighborhood, wrong time. My partner at the time happened to be, you know, he happened to be black. I am white. And so we have a black guy and a white guy walking down the street, door knocking in a neighborhood that is Hispanic or Latino, I should say, not Hispanic, Latino. And the Latino gang, which has rivalries with both color skins, like with other gangs of both color skins. So yeah, we didn't fit well in there. And then we're in our car, sitting in our car, going through our files, who we talked, who we spoke to and everything. And we're sitting in his car and all of a sudden a car pulls up next to us, stops, like he's facing the other way. We're parked on the side and he's facing the other way. And the guy rolls down his window, throws gang signs at us. And then we're like, what the heck? And then he peels out and then makes a U-turn, parks right behind us, and we see the door open. So we're just like, he just took off. And then they started following us. And so they're following us down the streets of Pomona, just chasing us, getting up against our tail. I'm trying to call Pomona PD, trying to get on the phone, and like I'm on hold, I'm on wait with them. Finally, we finally ended up losing them. But yeah, that's you know, fortunately nothing bad happened, but that was probably the last time we door knocked that area. So yeah, so that's the story. I mean, door knocking is great. Door knocking is one of those things that it's not great. It sucks. Door knocking sucks. Okay.
Maybe we could say it has a good return on investment because it doesn't cost anything, but.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, it costs a lot of your time. I mean, you got a door. I mean,
right.
I remember door knocking and like we have our list, and probate leads usually aren't like a long list. And so, you know, you'd go from door, from lead to lead, driving to lead, door knocking them, which wasn't a really good, now that I think back, it wasn't really a good marketing strategy or sales strategy just because of the time spent. Door knocking, like cold calling, is a volume game. And I remember a guy that was doing really well at the same time, and he was door knocking like 100 doors or more per on a Saturday. And he had like his own KPI. He had so many deals that pulled out of that. So it's just, again, a numbers game. You can refine it and you know your KPI and you know, like 500 doors equal one deal, then that's something you can optimize. And anyway, going back to the story, it was when I was struggling doing all this, going to appointments, talking to sellers, an old school investor pulled me aside and he said, hey, go ahead and write down 100 different ways that you benefit a seller. Okay. And that I directly can help a seller. And so I wrote it down, you know, like things like, hey, save them from embarrassment of putting a sign up in their house. They can sell with all their junk in their house. They don't have to find somebody to haul it away. These are actual benefits now, all the little benefits that I actually bring to the table. It did two things. One, it boosted my confidence going, because my problem was, I think a lot of investors struggle with this problem, is they think it's just about the price. And like you mentioned, it's a real problem you have to solve usually. And now you're coming in as your real problem solver, and you're alleviating them from all these emotional stresses. And so that created for me today now like a bank in my head of ways that that actual marketing fodder that I can use in these text messages and these emails. In emails, for example, email is the perfect place for stories. Now, we were talking about stories. Email is a perfect place for stories. So in email marketing to sellers or to your leads, I'll go to Reddit and I'll type in like, you know, tired landlord, or on Google search, I would type in can't sell my house Reddit, or, you know, some kind of keyword like that. So I'm looking for stories, and Reddit is like a gold mine for this. You can find stories of people who are having trouble selling their house, whatever it is. I mean, I have like a bank of all these stories, like stories of somebody doing an open house. And then the next day there's like human feces smeared all over the walls, right? These real horror stories of listing, real horror stories of a house that can't sell. It's been listed 4 times. Those stories I bring up into email, not so much to like, I'm trying to to convert them right then and there. Again, like, we're not going to convert these people right then and there. Usually, 99% of the time, you're not going to convert a seller from not being a seller to being a seller. But it brings the problem up. It brings you as the authority of all this. It brings your credibility and brand, and it brings up the brand awareness. You're showing up. You're showing up with something interesting. So, anyway, long story to it all. That's some of the copy tactics that I use.
That's interesting. So I think a lot of investors don't know this goes on. A lot of people think they don't realize how long you need to stay in front of people. I just talked to a client. They closed the deal now, which right now we're recording is April 2nd. They closed the deal from like October last year. So it's like the cycle is long. Before I even get into this too, I do like that exercise. Write down the 100 things that you can do to help people. Like that will work in any industry out there. Just like write them down and then just going to spark in your head.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we're selling whatever industry is. This is the same principle. It's just, we're not selling the widget that you sell. Like we're not selling the cash offer. You're not selling PPL leads. At the end of the day, we're selling an actual solution to, and you can usually break it down to 4 different types, you know, wealth, health, relationships. And so yeah, at the end of the day, we're selling something. So it's really coming to terms of what exactly is what that we're solving for the person that we're selling to. And that's capitalism. That's business in itself. You know, if you come in just like, I'm going after the money, here's my thing. It doesn't make it very fun. You're not helping people. Right. And people can smell that and feel that when you're just coming in for the transaction, you're not really coming in to solve or help the other person. So
everybody listening, number one, you can go out and do this all yourself, or you can click the easy button because Paul's already done this research. And Paul, explain them, because you do this for investors, like you craft their sequences and everything. So explain to everybody like what you can do for them to help them.
Yeah. So if somebody comes in and they've got the lead generation in place, you know, even if they don't have a lead generation in place, I can help in a way that makes sure they have the time to follow up. And that's probably the biggest thing I solve is actually, I had a client, there's a review on my website, Scott Farrell, you can check that out. He talked about how he was tied, and they're a real business. They're doing multiple deals per month. It's pinnacleinvestments.com. He said he was tied to his desk doing the follow-up emails, doing the follow-up texts and all that, really not knowing what to say and just tied to it while there's other leads that needed more attention. And there's these ghosted leads that come in and they just disappear. He came in, we hooked everything up into his system, all our 20 plus sequences into his CRM. We don't sell CRMs or anything like that. Just whatever CRM you use, that's what we help you. That's where we install it. He came in and after 2 weeks of using it, which is not, this is outside the norm, but after 2 weeks of using it, they pulled a $60,000 deal from a ghosted lead out of the drip sequences. So if somebody comes in today and they are doing deals, or they have leads coming in every single month, or fresh new leads, or they have dead leads that they haven't followed up for in a while, we'll go ahead and install our copy based off of your business. So that's important. It's not, we don't just plug in templates that everybody uses because those are pretty generic. So if you're a business if you're a guy or gal that does face-to-face, we make sure that's in the copy, right? Or if you're somebody that's a mix of face-to-face or phone appointments, or you're 100% virtual, or your national buyer, your local buyer, whatever it is, we make sure that all that fits the copy. So it's not just generic, bland copy that everybody else is using. And we plug that into your system. Takes us about 10 hours to plug in. I was just tracking this. It takes us about 10 hours to actually complete a client. Hook everything up and we get started. I get on the phone with you to make sure everybody knows how to use the sequences because they're really easy to use. It's just a matter of knowing it. We drop some leads in there and just let it work. So it works 24/7 in the background for you. So in a nutshell, it's kind of done for you. Follow-up marketing, put in your CRM.
That's cool. So everyone listen, you can do this stuff on your own, or like I said, there's an easy button. Like you could spend years, like Paul, how many years, well, you already told everybody how many years of research this stuff takes. Like the psychology and everything just on the marketing's a little extensive. So
we're constantly updating. It's not like, see, the thing with drip sequences and that you get from other CRMs and the templates, the thing about it is that they are templates, but they're also, if 1,000 other people are sending the same thing, this is true for Gmail. I'm not 100% sure if carriers can see this or not, but they probably will be able to. Gmail can see that it's a template. Like if they see 1,000 people, just the same message is coming through, it's a red flag. And so more likely to drop it into best case scenario, the promo folder, or worst case scenario, the spam. So it's important not to use those. If you are going to be using templates, making sure that you're going to refine it for your own. So anyway, the best place to reach me is you just go to our, go to reiomnidrip.com. I was going to say www. I don't know why I still say that. No, everybody knows the type.
Showing your age, man. Showing your age.
Right? I'm only in my mid 30s, but go to reiomnidrip.com. There's all that info. There's samples you can grab. There's a demo. You can reach out to me straight from there. You can book a call with me.
Yeah, cool, guys. And I recommend anybody that is talking with sellers that does not have 100% close rate when they talk to the people, get drips in place. Because I even see with online leads, like 9 out of 10 leads are not ready. They don't want to sell yesterday. They want to sell in a month, 3 months, 6 months, or a year, like whatever their situation is. And once you scale your business, you're going to have too many leads. Like, you can't physically follow up with these people all the time. So automate it. Like, there's tons of tools out there. Like, buy your time back. You know, get a sequence going, get a CRM going, stuff like that, and then put that stuff on automation, and then you focus on the people that want to sell yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say it's also important, if you're going to follow up, use multiple mediums. Don't say, I don't get any response from email, so I'm not going to use any emails. That's a bad mistake. I have a guy, there's a review on my website, Wes Brown. We went through his activity board after deals pulled out and looking at, okay, what was responded to. And it was after an email was sent that she then texted afterwards. So she didn't reply to the email. It's just that, and it'll probably show email not open. But by the way, I've done deals and I've closed clients who have been on my email list for a year, and it'll show they haven't opened one email from me. And then all of a sudden they respond back. They're ready to do a deal. Just because they're not reading it, or quote, it looks like they're not reading it. They might be. Just because they're not replying to it doesn't mean that your emails or your text message or your voicemail script or the article isn't building that brand awareness over time.
And it could just be like, I don't open a lot of emails, but I see the sender and then the subject. Like, okay, cool. Paul emailed me. Like, I'm not interested right now, but it just puts you top of mind again.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, well, good stuff. Hey, well, thanks for coming on, Paul. We appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, what's your top book you recommend? I know last time you recommended, I got it right over here somewhere, the copywriting book. What do you recommend this time?
I'm reading right now Arnold Schwarzenegger's autobiography. So Be Useful. I think it's a great book.
All right. Good stuff. Hey, thanks for coming on, man. Everyone, thanks for listening. Until next time, get out there, crush it, close some deals. We'll see you guys.